How have you not seen this?
Were you about to slate in?
Huh?
What?
I thought it looked like he was about to do a hand clap, like to slate in like you were shooting a movie.
Yeah.
Oh. Why not? Okay, fair enough.
All right.
And welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This? As always, I am your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by my guest host, Matthew Shadorn.
Hello.
And our guest, Tyler Sonicson.
Hey.
Hunter Roberts.
Hello.
Elliot Rahal.
Hey.
And John Michael Bond.
Hello.
And as you all saw, we just watched Smokey and the Bandit together.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fun. For those of you who have never seen listen to the podcast or aren't familiar with it, the premise is I take my favorite movies and I watch them with other comedians who have never seen them before. So with the exception of Matt, who is guest hosting with me today, these guys had never seen Smokey and the Bandit before now. And that's crazy to me. Smokey the Bandit, obviously a tentpole film, and Burt Reynolds. body of work, of course, well known for Hal Needham, a former stuntman turned director, who did this, the Cannonball Run films, Hooper, a lesser known but still pretty goddamn great Burt Reynolds flick. And this movie, of course, brought the Pontiac Trans Am to national attention because it's a dope fucking ride that they used the entire movie.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And if you watch the show Archer, everyone is familiar with John Benjamin's character's absolute boner for everything Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
This movie not excluded from that. So let's just work our way down the line. Tyler, how have you not seen this?
I don't know. I just said to Dustin right before we started recording, this might be in my top 20, if not top 10, favorite movies I've ever seen. I love this movie. I've seen like 5 minutes of it on TV. I remember once my dad and I were just watching TV. This is like 15 years ago. We're just flipping through channels, and like he lands it, like he turns the channel. He turns it on at the moment where you see Sally Field's ass just filling the entire screen. And he's like, look at that butt. And I was like, oh my god, that's a young Miranda Hillard. And then we watched like a little bit of the movie, and I was like, this is fun, but I didn't get the full experience. So I have no idea how I've not seen it so far.
I love that your staple Sally Field's role is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Normal Ray or Harper Valley PTA. Or any other number of her notable roles.
Hey, she cried herself to sleep over Robin Williams.
That's fair. She was solid in that movie.
Yeah. I would see Forrest Gump's mom.
That too, Mama Gump.
She was a flying nun, too, right?
Like,
yeah,
she was.
And she was
married to Tom Lincoln, too, right?
Yeah.
But Miranda Hill, whatever.
Welcome to Fields Cast, where we talk about Sally Fields.
Yeah.
How the fuck is everyone so well versed in Sally Fields?
She's a goddamn treasure.
She's a national treasure.
I'm in love with you.
Really love her.
I can talk in an alarming length about Sally Fields and Gerard Butler, bro.
All right.
Hunter, same question. How have you not seen this?
Again, it's like Tyler. I have no idea. I'm from Johnson City. I live in Gate City, Virginia, and like that. What you just saw happens on a daily basis. that's life. They're like racist sheriffs and just misogyny. I live it. That's how I haven't seen it. I feel I'm not much the better off now that I have seen it. But I have seen it now.
Elliot Rahal, how have you not seen this?
I just didn't. I couldn't have given a goddamn.
You just wanted to be on the podcast?
Yeah, I am from. We don't have unlike Hunter here. I'm from Chicago, and like we have things to do back home.
Name dropper.
It's just I don't like.
I'm more of a Gary Sinise guy. The whole Burt Reynolds thing, I feel is that's a very regional obsession.
You are so wrong.
Prove me
Solo
wrong.
Hasn't seen Boogie Nights.
You just saw the movie. He's popular across half of the country.
However, I will
just
say...
Just one highway.
Yeah, one highway. I do appreciate an hour and a half long Coors commercial.
So you've seen the Blues Brothers, which is pretty much the same movie, but from Chicago.
It's more of a musical, though.
A lot of music in this.
There's a lot of music. I did
a lot of a lot of Jerry Reed.
The narrator is the musical.
Jerry Reed covered that.
Yeah.
John Michael Bond, how have you not seen this?
I don't know. I watched a lot of TNT movies for guys who like movies.
Have you been flipped under the radar?
I don't know how to fucking do it. I've seen every Italian zombie movie known to man. I've seen all five Phantasm movies, but somehow this goes.
Fulci and Coscarelli, but not the works of Hal Needham.
Literally, like. If I had seen this when I was a kid, I would just be like, why did they make this hillbilly remake of the Blues Brothers? And they're both fucking musicals.
Yeah.
Like, there's the main narrator of... It's Jerry Lee, I think, right?
Jerry Reed.
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry. The whole time, it's like, oh, they're just singing this one song. And it's like, oh, wait, no, he's... Slowly describing the bandit's seduction.
What's the song called? The Bandit.
Yeah, it's just tough, man.
It's brilliant.
I don't know. My dad failed me in a lot of ways. Being a minister was one of them, but this is probably the worst.
Fair enough.
I will say, full disclosure, I had not seen this movie before last year.
Okay.
When I played at the Tennessee Theater here, and my wife's like, we should go see this. And it's like, okay, I'll go see this whenever Cracker Man. Like, oh, this fucking amazing movie. I don't know this movie. And this is like the third time I've seen it. And just like the layers. I'm appreciating layers. I'm sorry. Just like every time, I'm just like, oh my god, this is amazing. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
It's like Burt Reynolds took the role, actually.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like got layers like an onion in the sense that it makes me want to cry and it stinks.
Wow. I think we're all really fresh with this movie.
Yeah.
All right. So we know Tyler liked it.
It's not that I didn't like it. It's just, you know.
I don't tell that. Yeah, I'm not a mind reader, Elliot.
Low culture.
It seems like it's sort of a one or the other sort of thing. It's not that I didn't like it. It's that I fucking hated it.
I felt absolutely nothing towards this.
What? I mean, it was great.
Do you not like a solid soundtrack? Do you not like the witty banner? Do you like the casual racism?
The casual racism really spoke to me. Why did all of the black characters aside from the sheriff speak in jazz? That's what I didn't understand.
Well, they all, I mean, like, even the truckers speak in jazz.
Yeah.
They're all speaking in country music songs.
I think the one thing that really spoke to me was the friendship between the snowman and the bandit. I liked that a lot. There was very Lord of the Rings.
On the
way to Mordor. My favorite character easily was the snowman because
he's wonderful.
Level of insanity just got greater and greater. Like, there was a point in time where I did not understand a word he was saying.
Do you think like there's like maybe an alternate cut of this where it's just the footage of the snowman and the bandit doesn't exist?
The bandit's his Tyler Durden.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely an alternate cut where they left out the part where he was like grinding up crank and stuff.
There's a lot of amphetamines, but they're not like that. Like, at one point, he's like, I'm gonna go get some BOGO juice. Like, okay, I'm gonna pick up code for.
No, at one point, they brought it to the end, and he was like, I'm gonna go do something crazy. They didn't remember the snowman, because I'm gonna fuck this bastard hound. It might be the best supporting actor of the entire movie is that bastard hound's dick. Half the shots.
The love story between snowman and Fred.
Yeah, that's what the movie's all about for me.
My favorite aspect of it is this beautiful America where everyone equally hates the cops.
Yes! That's seriously why I love this movie so much, because fuck cops.
Yeah, I know,
oh man, he's killed three of them in a pile of them. Let's make him a banner.
When was the last movie, like, how long has it been since we had a good, like, cops are clearly the bad guys movie?
Training Day?
Lakeview Terrace with Samuel L. Jackson.
Rampart was a good cop suck movie.
Okay, this is like even more like fuck the police. And any NWA song ever written, this is one of them.
What year was this made?
77. And can you believe that Annie Hall won the fucking Oscar over this?
Whatever.
This is a better movie.
You guys are saying
I can completely believe that Annie Hall won the Oscar.
See, I'm pretty sure that Buford T. Justice is the hero of this movie.
He is.
He's the hero. Like, this is the heartwarming tale of a man of the law trying to help his mentally handicapped son.
But that's the thing, though. Like, he's operating entirely outside of his jurisdiction, and because his pride is wounded.
100% outside of his jurisdiction.
Yeah.
And I love how all the other cops are just like, well, he yelled at me, so.
Yeah. Go about your business, Sheriff.
Like, that black sheriff, do you know how much effort he had to go through to become a sheriff?
Oh, lots.
Redneck yelled at him, and he was just like, okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that taller was a racist term until this movie. It was like, you sounded taller on the radio. I didn't know that was like something that you could dig at a black person for.
It was him being like, oh, I thought you'd be white.
Yeah, him recovering.
That is like showing up jokes.
What did they make cop cars out of? Like, that's what I
don't know.
At one point, like they literally did the exact, they were traveling at the same velocity. They did the same stunts, and yet it's like, oh, look at the Trans Am, do something super cool, guy. And then the cops like, marr. Like, I don't understand at what point, like, why are all cops, like, why are all of their vehicles just made of, like, silly putty? I don't
understand. Pontiac didn't make their cars, bro.
I guess so, yeah.
They're actually made of the same thing that stormtroopers are made of.
Completely expendable.
Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah,
that's what they're made out of. The scene, oh my god, the scene where Jackie Gleason and his mentally handicapped son like fly underneath like the steel wire underneath that truck and just tears off.
Why do you think he's a mentally handicapped son?
Because he's mentally handicapped.
Okay.
That's my logic.
I think he's simple. It's because he's got great lines like, my hat flew off, daddy. Like,
I just interpreted that as being from Texas.
We had established that this is supposed to be, that's a completely accurate portrait of everyone from Texas, right? Like Jackie Gleason.
I
just did a show in San Antonio, Texas, where they kicked out 6 paying audience members for having Australian IDs. Because apparently you can't drink in Texas with an Australian ID. So I would not be surprised.
I've never done that. It's terrible.
Thank you, school shooter guy. So yeah, I believe fully that Texas is a terrible nightmare.
It's not the land of adventure like Georgia. Like,
no,
do the signs still say that?
Yeah.
John Michael?
It does.
It does?
Yeah.
Like, who's had adventure in Georgia besides Burt Reynolds between Deliverance and this?
Well, now the bandit's carrying big bales of meth, but there's still a lot of adventure to be had in Georgia, guys.
I'll take that.
Oh, can I say, I love how the plot is predicated on everyone's very specific knowledge of bootlegging law, or like liquor law, the cops say lines. Like, everybody seems to know that, like, Coors can't go past Texas. What are you,
why
nuts?
That actually was a real thing for a while because of distribution laws.
Well, why do they know that? Like,
look, because people want to drink fucking Coors and tap the Rockies east of Texas. You never wanted to dig into a silver bullet out in Tennessee or whatever?
Was in the 70s, was Coors, like, the most amazing beer? Is that...
Was it the PBR of its time? That's what we want to know.
Yeah.
I don't even know like what the hierarchy of beers was at that point. But yeah, that is a shitload of Coors.
Yeah, 400 cases. That's like, I can't even fathom drinking like 4 Coors.
But what I want to know mostly is what was the motivation for the Enuses, which is ridiculous in that they have a name called, be like, why, like, we need that Coors, like, because they we saw in the beginning of the film another 400 cases of Coors had gotten pulled over. That's the stakes.
They were gambling.
Those are the stakes. But, like, where do they get all this fucking where do they get all the Coors from?
They wouldn't buy it. They gave them money to buy it at the party store.
Okay.
They got it from the Coors factory.
Yeah. Well, quick question. Were the Enuses, like, the reason why the movie Twins happened? I don't know.
He's got big anus and little anus. And you know whoever was writing this movie was like, I'm a goddamn genius. His name is Big Enus. So you said that one, and they walked on the screen, and my first thought was, I shall call him Mini-Me.
I like the Big Enus, Little Enus thing, because, like, if you really want to be, like, a cunt about movies like I am, usually... Like it plays into that Dangerous Liaisons thing where it's like rich people like toying with poor simple people for their own amusement, and that's why they keep like betting truck drivers and shit to make that impossible run.
The $1 bet from trading places.
There's
a real subtext about class here. They're just toying with the poor and the sad truck drivers. You know.
Frog's been on Broadway and Bandit hasn't. How will they ever reconcile that?
By the way, the saddest side plot. basically, she's like, I almost made it, and now look at me. I'm just a wolf.
No.
She waits to be romanced, and she politely asks him to take off his hat.
Yeah, sure. She does.
He takes it off for one thing, smooching babes and crushing pussy.
I originally thought the answer was roller coasters.
That
should be it, because if you lose it, you don't get it back. We've all been to Dollywood.
I was hoping the one thing he took it off for was showering. That was me. I was like, yes.
No, you just put one of those little rain guards on, like cop shoes.
All right,
What I do like how she did throw out, like, I think the most dated reference in that entire film was that she had a relationship with an acid rock.
Yeah!
I thought it was an Iron Butterfly reference, because that's the only acid rock band I've ever heard of in my entire life. That's a very dated reference. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
At one point, one of the cops was talking to Buford T. Justice, and he was like, I don't care if you're so-and-so. You're not doing... And I was like, I don't know who that is.
Bradford Cromley, some shit like that.
Weird-ass
southern name.
I was like, this is fucking... I don't get your reference. It's like listening to a Tyler Sonnigson or Matt Shadorn set.
That reference got an applause break, and no one listening to this podcast will get that reference.
Much like a Tyler Sonnigson.
Oh man, layers like an onion, guys.
Who's a cowboy in your paint?
This is just like its tail. You guys are listening to that right now.
Or a Boris fucking inside joke.
Oh man,
Jesus.
Right. Back to Burt Reynolds and Sally Field. And Ralph Cramden in his finest moment on screen, I think.
He is pretty great as Buford T. Justice.
I like how he was channeling Dusty Rhodes the entire time. I was waiting for him to get out. Like, Dusty Rhodes done caught the bandit. He's been living dreams and American dreams. So
did the Dukes of Hazzard come after or before this?
I believe, I think.
It was after.
What about Cannonball Run? Was that before?
Cannonball was after Smokey. Oh,
okay, so
is Cannonball a sequel to this?
No, but it is done by Hal Needham, who did this.
Okay.
So they're both movies about Burt Reynolds driving a fucking car.
There's a surprising gap in my history of Burt Reynolds driving cars movies.
Boogie Nights, when you boil it down to it, too, about Burt Reynolds driving a car. Ultimately.
That's true. I wonder, though, I'm curious as to how many almost heart attacks Jackie Gleason got himself into. Like, that man was getting red the time.
Every line he delivered, that was, like, a part of a heart attack, like, gradually building over the course of the movie. I was actually kind of impressed.
When he was
eating that sandwich, I was
legitimately worried.
He walks out of the bathroom and he has toilet paper stuck to his glasses. Yeah. His sunglasses. Like, that's a thing.
I
wouldn't have been surprised had they like not had to do like something like The Crow in that situation. Shit, we
got a fucking Bill
Robbins. Do you think it was like an Apocalypse Now thing where Jackie Gleason actually had like a shitload of heart attacks, but Hal Needham lied to the studio about it so that they could finish shooting the movie over budget and over schedule?
See, like the strange way that he says everything now, I'm starting to think like he started to have a heart attack and then Hal Needham would be like, "All right, action now."
Got him fired up. Took him to the cusp.
Got to get the paramedics right off the seat.
And I know I'm committing some sort of sin by saying this. I've never really seen much Jackie Gleason material. My only real reference for Jackie Gleason actually is from Back to the Future when they pull out the television. They're like, it's Jackie Gleason! And like, this guy is
Jackie Gleason while we eat dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then he's hella racist. And it's like, oh, no.
No, it's more that he's hella like sexist. He's always like, I'm going to punch you in the face. Or what is it? Like,
When I get back to your mother, I'm going to punch her in the face.
That was a legitimate threat.
That was the Honeymooners. That's every episode of the Honeymooners. Yeah. Is I'm this close to punching you in the face,
that's
Alice.
Right. I didn't know that poontaining. I didn't know that poontang could be used as a verb.
He's a warrior poet. Is Jackie Gleason?
Also, never heard a woman called a koozie before.
That was horrific.
That was fantastic.
Poozing around.
I will say this.
Poontanging around.
I didn't necessarily mind his horrible racism and misogyny because that made sense for him. But there was one brief moment in this film that actually like really bothered me. I'm like, that guy's a real big dick. And that is like at the very end. All these kids are in like this corral of trucks.
I know what you're gonna say.
Yeah, and then like he's with this girl who's really excited, he's showing off, and he's like, "Are you sure we're not gonna get in trouble?" He's like, "I've done this before." And then she got really excited to use the CB, and she did it wrong, and he shit all over.
Let go of the button. Like just got like
get
oh, it's like
broad.
It's like this weird insight into their relationship. Yeah. Like that real subtle. Like, oh, yeah.
I wanted to like travel in that film and be like, you can do better than this.
Yeah. You really deserve more.
Yeah.
What he doesn't realize is everybody else on the CB is like, when she let go of that button, she's like, man, Charlie's being a real asshole. Yeah.
What if that was like the breaking point for their relationship?
We need to have
like she had nagged him for years to go and do one of their like shenanigan car events, and then finally he took her and she fucked it up.
We need to have an intervention for little B. It seems like she's going to be a rough
time. that thing you reference I think that happens in the movie a lot, where you just get little snippets of conversations of people in cars. It was the best. Like the best one is when
the two dudes are pulling out of the funeral.
Yeah, the two guys driving the hearse. Did you check the end of this conversation? Like that's a lot. Like you go out. Like,
oh,
like,
someone died.
Also, this grave digger. What's his grave robber?
Grave robber.
A little on the nose.
He's making money in other ways.
Yeah.
And they just all know the bandit. Like every
single person.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
Between Texarkana, Texas, and I guess Atlanta, wherever this movie ends, like Northwest Georgia, like every single person knows who the bandit is, and they're his allies, and they're incredibly tactically genius.
No, because that was the thing. This is the South in the 70s. So the bandit was like, it's like Conway Twitty and then the bandit are the most famous people.
Well, in the bandit's defense, the movie does open with a song called Legend, which tells us the tale of the bandit. So, when Jerry Reed writes a song about you, you are a legend.
Can we also address the fact that Burt Reynolds destroys the fourth wall within like 20 minutes of
the movie.
Looks at us and smiles.
It was just like Deadpool. He just mugged to the fucking
See, I think the thing with that is
like what he was doing to us. Like, you know, trust me, everyone, I got this.
But that's like the first time he eludes the cops. And I feel like he's like looking at us like, come on, guys, it's a movie. Let's not. Like,
if I were a moviegoer in 1977 watching this film, like, oh boy, what's going to happen to these guys next? And when the bandit does that, that would be the first time in the film I felt safe. We're gonna be okay.
Tell me you watched that moment and you just didn't fucking melt at the sight of that smile.
In case you were wondering, there will be no suspense in this film. Oh no, let me pull behind this barn real quick. Oh, pretty cool. I
think Burt Reynolds has moved up in the echelon of fourth wall breaking to Craig Robinson in Hot Tub Time Machine. Yeah. Like, I just, he looks at the camera, he's like, Hot Tub Time Machine, and then he just does the, yeah, like, the face, like, what's
yep,
up?
This is the title of the movie.
That's the name of the movie.
I am curious, though, as to at no point in this film did the cops try to shoot them.
Yeah, I was like, there's got to be some alternate ending where it's just they go out in a blaze of glory and just done that. Sonic body riddled with bullets. The dog gets one in the head, too. Like,
yeah,
the I'm not Fred.
That was the alternate take that they used. The test audiences did not like it.
No, the helicopter shows up in Georgia, and I'm like, oh, well, they haven't done the mission yet where they get the rocket launcher. In fucking Grand Theft Auto White Trash.
Yeah. They never address, the helicopter just disappears. They don't do anything to shake it up.
They made it to this race. I guess we can stop chasing them now.
They completed the mission.
That's the thing, is like the cops are just going to take that truckload of booze. It's
I am curious, is the sequel about them going to Boston?
Oh yeah, I wanted to ask that.
Like, are they going to get a bunch of clam chowder, which is dumb?
I have not watched either of the two sequels.
Has anybody, have you seen the sequel, Shane?
Yes.
What is the sequel about them going to Boston?
Can we give him a mic?
Just Shane Ryan, special guest, sequelologist.
Drop in real quick.
Smokey and the Bandit 2, Book of Shadows.
Smokey and the Bandit 2 is they're on a mission. They're on a mission to rescue a circus elephant. Honest to God.
What?
Yes.
Hold on.
My name is Shane Ryan, and I have seen all of these. I saw the first one when I was 8 years old. The first movie I ever saw on HBO in 1978.
Hold on. A circus. Did Hal Needham do the second one, too?
Yes, I believe he did.
What?
And Jackie Gleason's in it. And,
no, that makes sense. No, Jackie Gleason makes sense.
Wait, the third one, Smokey and the Bandit 3.
What?
Is called Smokey is the Bandit.
What?
And Sheriff is the Runner. Yes, he becomes. We flip it out. But I think in that one, correct me if I'm wrong, Jackie Gleason was very, very sick in that one. He had somebody, it was like mostly his voice. But Smokey was the Bandit. There is a flip in number 3.
Wait, Jerry Reed plays Bandit at some point, too, in one of those, doesn't he? It's either in Smokey the Bandit 3 or the
I think in the third one, it's Jerry Reed, but.
Jerry Reed plays Bandit at one point.
Yeah.
I remember reading that and thinking, okay, well, I am never going to watch anything after this first one.
Does he put on a mustache? Or?
I don't know. Okay. I just know that Jerry Reed becomes the Bandit at one point.
Just Jerry Reed high.
There's your next episode. Watch one of those.
Oh, okay. Man. Yeah. There you go. All right. And Shane Ryan, everybody. Yeah.
Shane Ryan, everybody. Thank
you very much, Shane.
Human Wikipedia.
I can't focus on this conversation. A fucking elf.
Yeah, I want to know about this shit. Right.
That's goddamn insane.
Is it like an animal rights thing? Like, we're going to save this elephant?
Do they put it in a truck?
Yeah.
Because, like, that seems like that would kill it.
So, yeah.
There are no air holes.
So?
It's a fucking movie, man. Yeah.
Also, we got to deliver an elephant. It never says a live elephant. Oh, I hate that like they're delivering an elephant to Pope. Like, these guys want to shoot an elephant now. Big and Little Edith. They're like, we want to shoot an elephant, and they bring it up.
I like how after we watched the first one, we tried to apply logic to the second
one. I think so.
Just watched Smokey and the Bandit. And the Bandit's like, how does the elephant stay alive? Fucking Burt Reynolds looked into the camera and basically winked at us.
That's one thing, man. Running an elephant in a semi. What?
Get out of town! I would love to think that movie is actually about ivory harvesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing, and I say this as a person who loves Smokey and the Bandit. There is no depth to this fucking movie.
No.
This is not offering insightful commentary on race or sex, like gender issues or anything like that. Okay, and I say that loving
crazy.
This movie, but a fucking elephant! What?
I haven't seen it. I don't think I will see it. I'm fine. Going back to the first film, I do
that old thing.
Yeah. I think
I'll get past this. Yeah. Just keep going.
One of my favorite things, some creative audio cutting was pretty great.
The ADR in there?
The ADR
ADR where it's like you hear a snippet of like, well, I'm okay from a cop.
Yeah, exactly. Face down
I didn't need to know that he was okay, but I appreciate it.
It's like the forced voiceover in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
They didn't think we could figure it out. It's like, no, you gotta let him know you're okay, cop in the mud.
Yeah, well, that was the thing from like the old A-Team where like they would flip a car, like it would explode, and then there would always be a cut of the henchman just like crawling out of the wreckage. So you're like, everybody's okay.
As soon as someone dies in a wreck in this movie, then it adds a whole lot of depth.
This isn't a fun time we're having anymore.
Yeah, it was like there was the motorcycle cop who goes over a ramp and then lands in a pond and flies 40 feet, and then I'm just like, and he never walked again. Like he's like, he pops up after that, and he's like, I'm just taking a bath.
That really should have been Smokey and the Bandit 2. It's just a very long police funeral.
We play all the Jerry Lee's or Jerry whatever songs with the bagpipes.
Yeah. The bandit's a lot like Batman. He doesn't kill anybody, but he will maliciously fucking wound you.
He'll cripple you. The hero.
I think my favorite voiceover, the ADR part in this movie, was when the cop pulls onto the highway and you just hear him say, I've got him in my sights.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was fucking Star Wars.
Does anyone know? I don't know if you looked up like the release date or production date or whatever, but how does this coincide with Star Wars?
Okay, same year. They both came out in 77.
Same summer.
Same summer?
Yeah.
What a summer.
Star Wars is supposed to get Aliens and. Or Aliens. The next year?
Was 79,
I believe. I have a question. Why did they never address that poor fucking party store that was just ripped off for like $12,000 worth of beer?
They left notes.
No, he didn't. He didn't stop writing. He just fucking threw it over his shoulder.
By the way, that was also a peek inside of his horrible illiteracy.
It's like, no wonder he's running booze. The man can't read.
That's an awful
take on that. But no, it's clearly what was happening.
I just thought I'm a bad speller. I can relate to you, Jerry Reed.
look at that man's home life. That man's home life is a wreck. He had, what, like 8 kids?
Yeah, that was such a funny gag because there's like a million kids in the yard and then there's just like kids like jumping into his
wife and colors, which is never a good sign.
No, and he's just asleep in the middle of the day.
But you know what?
He's tired from making all those children. It takes fucking practice.
He's coming down from like being high on crank and driving for 40 hours. Like, but you know, here's the thing: is like I felt really bad for that wife because Burt Reynolds makes some shitty comment about the way she looks, and I'm like, man, she looks really good for having like 20 kids.
Yeah. You tried being a mother.
I know. I was like, you know what? In fairness, she kept her figure really. Now I'm just gonna.
It wouldn't be a Burt Reynolds movie without rampant homoeroticism.
Oh my god!
He comes on top of Snowman.
Who then rolls over?
And then puts deodorant on him. He sprays his deodorant on him.
Yeah. That's,
It sounds like you guys are mistaking quality friendship for hey guys, we're good pals. I guess that means we have to fuck now. Is that why everyone in Knoxville's so lonely? We don't have to blow each other. You just like, you know, spray some deodorant on. Make sure you don't smell bad.
By the way, spray on deodorant? Never heard of that before. That was a
deodorant.
Wait, really? What?
They
have spray on deodorant in Chicago, Elliot.
Well,
I know this.
That was actually...
It's a full on town, motherfucker.
We're starting a new podcast, How Have You Not Sprayed This On?
Sorry for having a little class.
All right.
The summer of 1977, a young Jim Axe saw that.
He was like, I know what I'll do with my life.
I want to combine the musk of the bandit and mace.
And some homoeroticism.
Yeah. Really quick, while we're still kind of talking about Jerry Reed, can we acknowledge how fucking on point those sideburns of his were?
He took a wallop by those bikers in that truck stop. Sideburns were immaculate. Like he walks out, his like eyes like swollen like twice its size. He's been punched; his ribs are broken. Sideburns, perfect.
Okay, there's nothing about Jerry Reed I did not love in this movie. It's top to bottom. This is like if there's a sequel that's just Jerry Reed, I would totally watch that because I loved it so much. And the thing where
it's
beaten up by the
several albums available. Hot horse and buy some right.
Yeah,
now.
I know. But it was just like, and that thing where it gets beat up by the bikers. That was one of the layers I was appreciating. Like when he gets out, there's this really long take of him like Standing up,
yeah.
Walking to the, like, just getting, like, getting his dignity together,
like,
and then he just crushes those bikers.
Fucking
bikers.
Yeah.
Just
whacking that
so much.
But the best part about that, to me, was when the shop owner or the diner owner came out and was like, oh, I'm really sorry about that, man. And, like, Jerry's just like, it's okay. Like, yeah,
and
like,
he gives him that real nice hug.
Yeah,
that, oh,
like,
oh,
the hair.
The hair. She's like, yes, like, he brings the head in. Oh.
He was so hurt. In that moment where he was, like, broken that he had just defended his dog,
yeah.
Like, that was a really, like, yeah, that was a really good peek inside of his character.
I know.
However,
like,
oddly racist right before that. He was like, I don't listen to Greeks.
No, the dog doesn't eat Greece.
Okay, I thought they were Greeks, and I was like,
who's racist now, huh?
Yeah, no, he was implying that they're greasy because they're Greek, and we all know why they're greasy.
I just loved it. I saw them, and I was like, wow, that's 1970s, and that's what hipsters look like now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think what the film did, like you know what they say about, like, oh, how do you make a bad guy, like, you know, kill a dog right in, like, the middle, like, the beginning of a movie, like.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to do that is have...
That's a classic way bad guys are made. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold up, the entire Robin Hood legacy starts with an arrow through a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody has the classic backstory for Joker.
Yeah. really cool, while we're talking about this scene too, we had a crowd here for this. There was a fucking applause break when Jerry Reed ran over those motorcycles.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Which is maybe, like, I'm not saying it didn't deserve it, but of all the movies I've been in where applause breaks have happened from the audience, that is probably the most bizarre moment when this happened.
No, because he was back in that moment.
Yeah.
Like,
you're like, oh, he's beaten down. We're not going to see the same snowman. And then all of a sudden, he's like, don't worry, guys. My dad told me you get 10 seconds to cry, and then you go back to beat him up. They just run those fucking bikes off the road. It's beautiful.
All I could think about was, now you can't leave from a Bronx tale. And they just go and just destroy all the bikers' bikes. They throw them out on the sidewalk and just, like, beat the shit out of their bikes in front of them.
All right. I need to ask.
I'm the only one here to see. Okay,
I've seen the
Bronx
Tale.
That's one of my favorite scenes of all time.
What? I have never seen Jerry Reed in a film before this.
Have you seen The Waterboy?
Yeah.
You've seen Jerry Reed in a film.
Is he the big fat guy?
He's the enemy coach. He's the bad guy.
Is that
Jerry Reed?
That's
Jerry Reed.
Is this IMDb? Smokey and the Bear, and then, or Bandit? Smokey and the Bear is another thing, right?
Yeah.
Smokey and the Bear is a different.
Yeah.
It's a whole different character.
It's a CGI animated thing. It's a different thing.
Much more actual homoeroticism. It's a big burly bear.
No, you're thinking of Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
Jesus. What are we talking about?
Jerry.
Oh, you know what? Can I just say, running over the bikes felt a little passive aggressive. I'm just going to say
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of aggressive. Those motorcycles will never work again.
Yeah. What song is the... Never mind.
He's down.
Where she gets the guy, she's cheating on him in the truck.
Oh, before he cheats.
Yeah, before he cheats.
Oh my god. I gotta go now.
Because it's a wonderful song sung by an angel.
Alright.
Okay, I will say this. I chat on the movie, but I will say this. What's amazing in the movie, and we haven't even really touched on it, is the stunts. The driving stunts in this movie are ridiculously good.
Yeah.
There was one shot where they drive under the semi and it rips the top off, and there's just, like, one shot of it spinning around, and then you see the stuntman just, like, come up. He's just like, I fucking did this, you're gonna see me in the movie!
It's
like, oh my god, that man should be dead right now.
None of the CGI bullshit.
Yeah, they're gonna stunt just like that in one of the Bond movies, and, like, those are known for, like, this is some of the best action that you'll ever see. And then you get, like, fucking Podunk Moonshine movie, and they do the same stunt. And I impressed me. Like, that, like, I was, like, I'll, because my roommate is a stuntman, and so, like, he does that for, like, a living, and so that, I know how not easy that shit is. So, like, that's super cool. That was the best part of the movie for me, was the stunts.
I wish they had done the CGI of the day, which was claymation, to do all of those things.
Yeah.
Just he hits a ramp, and all of a sudden, he's like, dip, 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 dip.
Yeah. Another thing going off of Hunter's thing, you mentioned the Bond films. It's either Live and Let Die or Man with the Golden Gun.
but they borrowed heavily from fucking Smokey and the Bandit, right down to the goddamn sheriff character, which is insane.
He's in two of the Bond movies.
It's Live and Let Die, where he's a main character, and then he shows up again
in China or wherever
In The Man with the Golden Gun. And that scene where the car, he's in the car with Bond, and they do the corkscrew. He does a barrel roll, and an actual car does a barrel roll over a bridge and like lands it on the first take,
which is
amazing.
You know what's funny about that is, like, we were making fun of Sheriff Buford T. Justice as being like, that's everybody from Texas. And I feel like that the British, when they made the Bond movies, that hick sheriff, they're like, that's everybody in America.
Also, the Bond sheriff, way more goddamn racist than Buford T. Justice.
That Live and Let Die is one of the most racist movies.
Oh, yeah.
It was just passable as, like, this is normal.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the British people were that racist because they made that movie. Well, like, and I know that it was
just
like,
say British history. They killed a lot of British people.
Are
you familiar with India?
They got India, they got China, they like they fucking crushed racism.
They put that shit year before we even got into the game,
see,
man.
Any Jackie Chan movie, they are racist and they steal treasures from China. That's all they do. That's all they wanted in Hong Kong.
Hey, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Let's do our favorite moments. We'll start with Master Dorn. Just work our way down the line.
Like I said before, my favorite moments are the little snippets of conversation we catch in the cars. Like, the best is the guys driving the hearse. But then there's also like two cops. Like, you see that waitress down at the diners? You got those, like, I'm going to make a run at that. Like, I don't know. Snippets of conversation that you catch. I just love that. And then also anything with Jerry. All Jerry Reed stuff is amazing.
I love Sally Field's banter throughout the whole I was not expecting her to be like the most entertaining character in the entire thing, but she's fucking hysterical and like holds her own and drives the fucking car, and I was like, oh man, I sort of wish it was Smokey and the Frog.
Yeah.
Not like, don't get me wrong, I like Bert, I love the mustache.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But like, you know, and he has a better ass than Sally Field.
Yeah,
in that movie, because they show it constantly.
Oh yeah, Sally Field's size jeans.
Oh yeah, I really if they've both been wearing the same like light blue bell bottoms, I think the movie would have been better. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Sally Field. She's my favorite part of that movie.
Yeah, she's very like, this is honestly my favorite Sally Field role, I think, like, out of anything she's ever done.
With the Sally Field banner, I love where she calls it a fakakta car.
Like, oh, she's showing there.
Somehow Jewish.
She's on Broadway.
That's true.
She
was in Judy or Broadway.
No.
Oh, boy.
It's an
LA
Rail joke.
You can't blame horrible things on me. You're not my mother.
This will be maybe the first time I edit a line out of this podcast.
I feel like I accidentally jumped into a car run by a racist bootlegger.
There was a lot. Obviously, the Jerry Reed stuff was great, but I really enjoyed the aspect of the like multicultural friendship of the road in that film, like the Asian truck driver.
Oh,
like,
shit!
All the colors of the rainbow are in this movie, and we all hate cops.
Who yells bonsai before he comes out of the car?
I missed that.
It was pretty great.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Going back to Burt Reynolds, I mean, I love that. I mean, I did enjoy the film, but going back to Burt Reynolds' outfit, his ass looked great. I am curious, though. I could not tell because he was, like, the jeans are so tight and the shirt, like, I couldn't tell if he was, like, fat or not. Like, there was, he had this really odd build where his, like, gut
was
like,
those legs.
Yeah, I saw him. I don't know.
I think it's just the way the shirt's tucked
just
in.
The way the shirt's tucked
underneath that, pure sex.
But, yeah.
Definitely wanted to take a run on that.
And that mug to the camera, like, that to me is, like, the highest form of comedy. Like, I was like, this is going to be great. Thanks for the experience. Not a particular part, but again, my favorite thing was the stunt driving. Like, it was amazing, and like again, I liked the thing of the cop car getting destroyed, and then they keep using it with the damage over and over. Like they lose the top in the first like 30 minutes, and then they lose a door, and so they're driving around in a car without a top and a door for the rest of the movie. And like that, I feel like that's a fun
again, stunt driving thing, because they have to build like X amount of cars without a top and without a door just to do the stunts more. So yeah, again, the stunt driving, I like that recurring joke of the shitty car throughout the thing, and then the horn. When he beeps the horn, the horn stays on. That's the car stuff. I'm not even like a big car person, but the stunts, there's just something about when you know that they're real that makes it like, yeah, good job. Somebody could have actually died doing that so that we could watch a movie about transporting beer. That's just crazy to me. But yeah, stunts.
Well, going back to what Hunter was saying about the stunt, well, what everyone's been saying about the stunt driving, I love the scene where Jerry Reed crushes the bikes, but I also have to bring up the stunt driving in the scene where they jump the bridge, because the timing, like when it comes down to something where like an action movie with editing, that makes such a huge difference, and I thought the editing was beautiful.
Yep.
In the scene and the timing where they jump the bridge and then the first car, of course, hits water. Did anyone keep track of how many cop cars hit water in this movie? There had to. Yeah.
There was double digits at least.
There was always a convenient lake nearby. That was very odd.
Ecosystem of the South played very high into this movie. But that scene with the bridge, I just remember like the black sheriff who Jackie Gleason's racist against, like their car is like tipping halfway down, and then beautifully orchestrated, like the car like comes speeding up and like knocks it into the water. Like that was probably my favorite moment of the movie.
It's Burt Reynolds for me.
You're the
seriously.
Only one who said that.
But he's so goddamn charismatic. Like, he's one of those actors you can put in just like a dog shit movie, and he has been.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he's still fucking elevates.
Remember Striptease?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Remember Striptease?
But he's fucking great though.
What the fuck's wrong with Striptease?
Striptease. Listen, like every scene, like every time Burt Reynolds smiles in this movie, or like just pulls like some coy face, just like, oh man, I either want to be him or I want to be with him. He's just this beautiful fucking man. And just every role he's in, even in a movie like Boogie Nights, where like he's kind of a prick, he's still very affable, still a fucking great guy. Part of me like really hopes that if they ever do a reboot of this, I'd like to see Daniel Day-Lewis try and tackle him. Daniel Day-Lewis is smoking, or as the bandit, sorry.
Drink your go-go juice. I took your course.
All right, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you, Matt Chidora, John Michael Bond, Elliot Ray Hall, Hunter Roberts, Tyler Sonson for doing the podcast. Thank you to the Pilot Life for letting us do this here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys so much for coming out and hanging out with us. This podcast will be available on iTunes sometime in the next month, along with all the other episodes. Thank you guys so much for coming out. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.